WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
James Welch writes contemporary and historical fiction about Native Americans. His novel Fool's Crow won an American Book Award. Welch grew up on the Blackfeet and Fort Belknap reservations in Montana. For 10 years, he served on the Montana State Board of Parole. It's a position he gave his main character in the new novel, The Indian Lawyer. The story is about Sylvester Yellowcalf, who works in a prominent, mostly white, law firm. He's thinking of running for Congress, but one of the convicts he's turned down for parole wants vengeance and blackmails the lawyer. This is Welch's first novel about a Native American who has tried to assimilate into the white professional class.
This is the first time I've dealt with an Indian who really was a success by anybody's terms. He was a good student, an excellent basketball player. He went to Stanford Law School. He's in a prestigious firm in Helena. He's on a parole board, and he just seems to have it made. And I did want to write about a character who did make it in the world of the dominant society and see what kind of pressures that might put on this person, how that this person would adjust.
Do you feel that you've been exposed to those pressures yourself?
Not really. I think writing is a little different from lawyering. Being a lawyer, you're in contact with a lot of different people, and I think there's a kind of innate pressure there, whereas writing is, it's basically a solitary act, and it just doesn't present those same kinds of pressures. I never felt any pressure.
How close do you feel that you've stayed to Indian culture in your life?
In my personal life, I haven't stayed very close at all. I get back up to the two reservations that I'm from a couple of times a year, and I try to go to a ceremony every now and then, a powwow or whatever. But I live in Missoula. It's off the reservation, and I just don't have much contact with reservation life anymore.
But you have a lot of contact with Indian tradition through your writing.
Yes, I've certainly kept up with things and put it in my writing. Some of those old traditions and stories and so on really stick with a person, and so I didn't have to really do a lot of research to call up a lot of the traditional stories.
Well, the story in one of your books, Fool's Crow, is actually based on your grandmother's story of surviving a massacre.
Yes, her name was Red Paint Woman, and when my dad was young, she was still alive. She was my great-grandmother, his grandmother. And she told him a lot of stories about those days, including the story of the massacre on the Marias, or the Baker Massacre. It's known by both names. And she had been in it, and she and a group of other people managed to escape down to the river and got under a cut bank. And then they went upstream until they were away from the battle. But during the course of that, she did get wounded in the leg. And so I used that incident. My main character, Fool's Crow, comes upon this small band of people, including this woman who's been wounded in the leg. So I did use quite a bit of her stories in writing my own.
What was the importance of this story in your family?
Well, as a matter of fact, my dad wasn't very talkative during his younger years when I was growing up. And so it was probably only 10 years ago that I learned this story, and I learned several other stories. I made a point of having him tell me all of the stories that he knew. And once he got to talking, I think he was really glad to be passing them on to me, because he knew that I would use the stories in a, I guess you'd say, a dignified way in a novel.
Did you find it remarkable that he had never told it to you?
Yes, I did. I learned a lot of things from him, which I had no idea. And I think this is true of a lot of people. older people start telling stories, once they get a little older, that I think they didn't think were extremely important to them when they were younger. So I think my dad probably chose a time to tell me these stories. But I do think it was remarkable that he kept them to himself all those years.
Which reservation did you grow up on?
On both the Blackfeet Reservation and the Fort Belknap Reservation. They're both in northern Montana.
Can you tell us a little bit about what life was like there?
Well, it was a good life. I enjoyed growing up. I know a lot of people think, and it's true, that life on reservations is quite dismal, that there's a lot of poverty, a lot of drinking. There's a high incidence of suicide on reservations. And so the problems really are many and serious. But when you're growing up, I think you don't really realize that these problems exist. We're busy playing games, going hunting, and fishing, and just doing things that kids do. It was great country. It's right on the edge of Glacier Park. They share a boundary. And so the landscape is just beautiful. And to us kids growing up, it was an ideal place.
Did you go to Bureau of Indian Affairs schools?
No, two public schools. Both reservations had public schools.
Mm. How was the education on the reservation?
Well, I think it's pretty much like it is in most rural areas where the population is quite small. I did learn a lot. I think the teachers cared. There were always problems among school board members. For instance, most school boards are apportioned so that they usually have a majority of white members, and the white members control the curriculum and so on. So when I was growing up, there weren't any courses in Indian culture. It was all straight dominant culture stuff, and we learned the history of Indians through history books that didn't treat them very fairly, I think. This was a long time ago, and I hope things are better now. But back then, I know that Indians were portrayed as savages who pretty much had to be swept out of the way in order for the West to be settled. And that was the thrust of education at that time.
Did those kinds of textbooks and did Western movies affect your self-image at all?
Somewhat. I know that at the movie house in Browning when I was a kid, and we used to go to, on the reservation, go to movies, I remember this very distinctly, that the cavalry would be fighting the Apaches, Geronimo or whatever. And as soon as the cavalry came into view, came to make their charge, the people in the audience would cheer and applaud, and they were mostly Indians. So it was really amazing. But at the time, it didn't seem amazing. It only seems that way in retrospect.
You always know who the hero of the movie is, and you identify even.
That's right. Yeah. I think people wanted to be Errol Flynn.
Yeah. How did you start writing?
I used to write in high school, but it was mostly the mushy cheerleader poems or the stately trees and wheeling gulls type of poems. They were pretty lousy. But it wasn't until I got into graduate school in the creative writing program at the University of Montana that I met a poet named Richard Hugo. He made it seem that anybody could write poetry, that you didn't have to be extremely bright. You didn't have to look a certain way. You didn't have to be tall and gaunt and wear a cape or whatever. So he encouraged me and my fellow students, who were mostly from small towns in Montana, to write. And so I did. And after that, I just became obsessed with writing. I was writing a poem a day for a year, and it gradually slacked off, but I just felt that it was something that I could really do, and I loved it.
Why do you think your writing stayed on the reservation long after you had left it?
Well, it was Dick Hugo who opened my eyes. I always felt that nobody would be interested in northern Montana, in, you know, such an unpopulated area, and in Indian people, in reservations. I just thought that people were interested in other things, things that went on in cities, cowboys rather than Indians. And when I first started writing poems, I was writing about all different kinds of things. And Dick said, well, what about your own background? What about the reservation? What about northern Montana? I said, nobody's interested. And he said, well, try it. And once I started, I just couldn't stop. I realized even if it wasn't interesting to other people, it was extremely interesting to me to explore through my writing. And as it turned out, it is interesting to other people, too.
Well, James Welch, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much, Terry.
James Welch's new novel is called The Indian Lawyer.